Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
I'm Nevermore, and I'm not normally this pleasant sounding.
I'm Frosty, and I'm just a frozen asshole.
And that's right, you got DV Oink, who loves to play and shit. I mean, no, wait a minute, hold on.
And they really didn't name your asshole 1 and 2?
That's what the boss calls it.
Two people remember me, and one's both mom.
I'm not surprised.
We were a little bit soggy.
Boiled bacon.
That's right.
And I'd like to introduce DV Midnight Backdoor for all your backdoor needs.
And you know what that means.
We will talk really slow for you.
I don't know, some of those nights at work.
I say it's a different little bird.
Welcome to Frag Out, Drag Out. And welcome to Frag Out, Drag Out with yours truly, Nevermore. And today we have DV Oink and we have our Uncle Fester. We also have special guests who I will introduce in just a second. Oink, how the hell are ya?
Well, you know, we're back to the negatives, so we're freezing our balls off again, unfortunately.
So it's one of two weathers. Sweat your balls off, freeze your balls off. Got it. Not yes. Moving to Alaska. It sucks.
Not much in between. Nope. I think our springs and our falls last about 2 weeks. That's about it.
Well, it's 70 degrees in North Carolina, so yeah.
Yeah.
I've been getting thunderstorms in January. Uncle Fester, are you dying from this heat wave yet?
No, actually, I turned my heat off for the first time in a while, so it's great.
Yeah, well, I don't want to see you standing around waiting for it to get cold again. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Had to, because with us, we have Jaeger Foundation. Unfortunately, one of their, whatever you want to call him, I just call him Nemesis, is not with us today. But we do have Doc, and we do have, I'm just going to say Foxy, because I cannot remember the first part as soon as the show started. So, hey, guys, introduce yourselves. Hello, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going? This is Doc.
Hey, this is Foxy.
Are you sure it's not reverse? You sure Doc's not Foxy and Foxy's not Doc?
Well, I do sound very Foxy. And
she does. So we have a Foxy very... Doc.
Yeah, we have Foxy Doc.
Foxy Doc.
All right, so I don't know y'all's history. I intentionally made sure I didn't look it up so that I would be able to ask questions since the others are more familiar with you. Are you guys military?
So the foundation was founded by veterans. We did bring in a few civilian people onto our board that help us run the foundation, but it's still a cause that's very, very close to their heart. They're involved with veterans in some way, shape, or form, and it's just a passion that we all share.
Did you serve?
I did serve. I suppose you want to know my service history. Is what?
Well, not a history. Just, did you eat crayons, and what did you do?
So I was technically Navy, but I was a Greenside Corpsman. So I was with the Marines most of my career, all except for my basic training. And so to answer your question, I did not eat crayons. I was the one that usually applied the enema to get the crayons out of the Marines.
Ah, nice, nice. And it's okay if you're a civilian. I heard her. I'm not vet. We love first responders. We love volunteers. Anybody that's in the community, because you were saying you were also did firefighting like Uncle Fester there. But, you know, as long as you're not standing on the corner saying, send all the vets overseas because we hate their guts, we got you. We fully support what you're doing. So what is the Jaeger Foundation? It sounds like a drinking foundation, but it's not.
It is not. I understand the confusion, though. we are a foundation that we through a grant program, we provide and pay for service dogs and their training to veterans and first responders in need with as little red tape as possible. And that's our main goal.
That is awesome. Okay, so they do include first responders. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions because we have had another canine trainer on here, but his was more into the protection training. Okay. So what kind of services do you offer?
So ours is considered like a medical apparatus. So the dogs we're training are looking at diabetic response, PTSD response, just really anything like that, even mobility help.
Awesome. So in case the people out there in Neverland that don't understand, service dogs and protection dogs cannot ever be the same dog. If they're protection trained, it is a no-go for a service dog. But a service dog by the ADA is a task-trained service animal, and I'm saying dog, but there is another exception to the rule, which is a mini pony. I've met, well, not met. I've got to see Flutter, so she's cute. But anyway, moving on. Tash trained. There's a couple of other qualifications that make a
correct
service dog a service dog. Do you guys want to talk about that?
So basically, the ADA just requires that it's trained to do a certain task. So for me, Jaeger, who the foundation is named after, he's my service dog. He does PTSD response. So if he sees that I'm getting stressed out, he will physically signal me, and that's used as like a grounding technique for me to kind of bring my mindset back where it needs to be. He also does things like deep pressure therapy, where if I'm sitting down and I'm stressing out, he'll come and put his full body weight on me, kind of like a weighted blanket, and that'll help me kind of calm down.
For those of you who don't know what that feels like, I do live with a Skeeter service dog extraordinaire who is 100 pounds, and once they lay on you, there's no choice but trying to get over. I don't know what kind of dog Jaeger is, but when when a big giant dog lays on you, you have no choice but to kind of relax. You immediately start petting them, and it's just so soothing. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a weighted blanket with fur.
And you know, when a person comes up to you and you're in that mindset and they try to get all up in your space,
I'll punch them.
Right. You're like, get the hell away from me. What's your problem? But when a dog does that, you can't help but be like, oh, you can't be mad at him. You know, you're going to pet him. And that helps, that tactile feel just really helps you work through that mindset.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever pushed Skeeter away, because I've had the luck that Skeeter chose, because Skeeter does what Skeeter wants. And once he was living with me, he decided he was going to work for us both. I've told funny stories on not knowing, because I don't have a service dog, some of the antics he's pulled to keep me from doing something dumb, but I don't remember ever having a moment where, if you were a human, you better not touch me, because I'm going to jerk, I'm going to flinch, it's going to be a reaction, that I've ever wanted to slug the dog, push the dog. It's usually, you know, arms around him, loving on him. So what kind of dog is Jaeger?
Jaeger is a Belgian Malinois, and that's actually pretty uncommon for Malinois to be service dogs, because they are such high drive, just powerful working dogs. But Jaeger was so chill as far as a Malinois goes, and didn't really do very good with bite work and everything, because he was just too nice. But he makes a fantastic service dog. He really does. And I actually want to talk about, you were talking about how, like, if a person gets in your space, you know, you're like, get away from me. There's a reason for that, and there's a reason that service dogs are so effective, and it's because their drive is much more simpler. When it comes to humans, we put emotion into everything, and we're thinking like, oh, what's your angle? You know, a dog's not like that. A dog is very simple. They see, hey, he's upset, I gotta go sit on him. It's that simple. It's that easy.
Oh yeah, and that's true, because when you're in that moment, and I'm just going to tell you, by the ADA, Doc doesn't have to disclose that his dog is for PTSD. When he's asked what task does it provide, all he has to say is it alerts to his condition. He's been kind enough to be open about it, so for education purposes. But in reality, if you're somewhere, you do not have to tell them what's wrong with you. Nowhere, absolutely. No how. It's there are different rules, like if you're going to be living moving into an apartment and they request a letter or something, but that's all different. But you never have to in public sit there and go, well, I have PTSD and that's what he does. You don't have to say that. I just want that clear, because I don't want people walking up going, what's your disability? you about to see, because I'm about to hit you.
No, absolutely. And PTS Dog and I have talked about this, and one of the things we really encourage, if you have a service dog, is to carry around like a laminated card with the ADA laws on it.
You mean you don't aren't fond of the knee-jerk reaction where you immediately whip out a video camera, post it everywhere, and try to ruin the business and possibly get them death threats and stuff?
Oh, God. No, I'd rather be a little more tactful.
Trust me, I get it. Like I said, I live with a service dog, and I have been in public positions where it has been uncomfortable to the point where, for me personally, I don't know if I'll ever have a dog where I go into public with it. I have an at-home dog who is in the process of learning. I had a really bad attack the other day from the trigeminal neuralgia, and she did everything she could to make it better. It's not something you can make better other than comfort. There's nothing to take away, but she did try. But I mean, we've been at a restaurant and somebody was offended because they don't like dogs, and they've made comments, and you know, like I'm deaf, you know, apparently when you have a dog, you suddenly can't hear all of the rude and snotty comments or something. Now I won't say that when we're at a grocery store and they start asking a bunch of questions, I act like I'm hard of hearing. So I don't got to answer them because I hate being bugged. That's the biggest thing in the world. Everybody's, oh my God, look at that dog. And I'm like, it's not like you haven't seen 1,000 dogs. And it's a debate. It's even a debate going on the page today at PTS Dog. Well, I always like to, I don't interfere, but I always like to tell the handler their dog's beautiful. You don't think we fucking can't see them?
You don't think I haven't heard that 30 times today already?
Exactly.
I just want the ugly ones, please. Just the ugly dogs. That's all I want over here.
People, I should have got an uglier service dog, like one of those little wiry haired ones with the snaggle tooth.
I mean, the thing is, though, and another lady posted, well, I teach my kid to go up and ask first. Teach your kid not to go up at all. It's really, really, I'm a dog person. I dearly love dogs. It takes everything in me, especially with my ADHD, when somebody comes through, whether it be a pet or a service dog, it takes everything. Like I'm biting my hands going, oh, cute dog, I gotta walk away. And you know, turn around and walk. But no matter what, no matter how bad the urge is there, I never, ever, ever bother that person. Now, a lot of them do know that I work there, so if they see me and I don't look busy to them, they will bring their dogs up because I have this natural born talent of stealing service dogs. I have been in the middle of an apprehension and somebody's dog come over and start alerting on me, and the guy's going, oh my God, I'm so sorry, we'll go back into retraining. I was like, it's okay, I steal service dogs, it's not his fault, it's something it just happens. It's something I do. I steal service dogs. I've been actually on the floor. And when I say on the floor, I don't mean like on the sales floor. I mean like in the floor, peeking around a corner. I turn around and end up with a Mastiff in my lap. And I'm like, hello, what you doing, doggy? And the guy was mortified. And I was like, oh, it's okay. Just, you got to move him when I got to get up. You know, so I still service dogs. But I know, and no matter how big, how small, because it took me forever to learn not to judge a 2-pound dog and go, are you sure that's really a service dog? I learned that a lady has a little 5-pound. It looks kind of like a rat. It's not very cute, but she broke her shoulder and couldn't wear her harness. So the pup had, or the dog had to sit in the top of the buggy, padliner, you know, followed the ADA. And it took me forever to learn that those little dogs do have a purpose and a job too. Couldn't knock me down and get me back. A little 5-pound dog could do nothing for my PTSD, no matter how much it tried to get my attention or love. I mean, I've had Skeeter yank me by the seat of my pants to keep me from punching a lady who said I didn't look disabled and she wished she were could take her dog everywhere.
And you know,
at the end, now this is in that story, let me tell you, I've already been through this whole store and been accosted all day. I get to the end and I done had enough, so I knew to leave. And he's like, take Skeeter with you. And I was like, okay. So me and Skeeter go outside, and I'm in that I don't know how to describe it unless you have PTSD, but where the everything's swirling and things are kind of going black. So I'm out there trying to calm down, and this lady just out of nowhere, I'm tucked in a corner, and she just started, and I was like, that's it, I'm gonna beat your ass. And I come out of it with my butt in Skeeter's mouth.
And that's something really important we do at the Jaeger Foundation, is we vet the dog to make sure it can meet your needs. So obviously if you need something like mobility assistance, a Chihuahua is not going to be effective for that, you know? So there are breeds that are better for certain things, but when it comes to like PTSD response, where Jaeger will come up and make physical contact with me and like push his nose into my hands and into my face, to get that contact. I mean, a Chihuahua could do that, you know, but it all depends what the needs of the vet are. And that's why we vet the dog to make sure it can meet their needs.
Yeah. Mine tends to turn towards the aggressive side. So something small wouldn't stop me. I wouldn't hurt the dog. And even in my subconscious, I would never hurt an animal, but I'd definitely knock a human down. But now, like I said, this lady's got a little 5-pound something that she normally wears in a harness, but it's for diabetic alert.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's no matter the size, any breed, any animal that is qualified under the ADA can be a service dog. Doesn't mean every dog can be a service dog.
Right.
You know, everybody likes to slap a vest and go, it's a service dog. And I'm like, what service can it possibly be doing riding in the front of the shopping cart?
Yeah. What one of my biggest annoyances I found, people have been getting a lot better about not just coming up and petting my dog, but as the education gets out there, people get better about it, but they still just sit there and stare at you. And that's what annoys me, because like I have them there cause I have PTSD and I'm paranoid around people that I don't know. And then you're going to sit there and stare at me.
Now it is, now Belgian Malinois are commonly used as a working dog. And by working dog, I don't mean service dog. I mean, they're generally protection police work. Dogs
Correct.
Or something like that. So you do see a lot of them. So do you get a lot? Cause Skeeter is very wolf-like, but he is not a wolf. He doesn't, to me, he doesn't even look like a wolf, but according to the general public, he is a wolf.
Right.
So they automatically, does he bite? So do you get a lot of that with you using a, what is generally viewed as a
bite work dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not as much as I thought I would, but I do occasionally, including today, I got a question if he's going to bite, but it's usually, I don't think it's a breed thing. It's people that are just generally nervous of dogs in general.
Yeah. Well, and I say this on every show. I even said it on the working dog show. Know your breed, people, because his dog, if not trained, has the ability to chew. And I've seen it happen. Chew through an entire police car, metal and all. Please know your breed. Don't just go get one because it's trending on the news. I have worked with a lot of Belgian Malinois because I do interact with a lot of police officers. And every time a shepherd, Malinois, something in the news makes good headlines for biting the bad guy or killing a terrorist, during this last episode that where everything went on the news, in my groups, I saw at least 10 posts a day of look at my new puppy and their Malinois. And now I'm starting to see, and I know exactly who to send them to, you know, cause we have had another veteran on that did protection training, is very experienced with the military, working dog, police dog, whatever, but he ate through the kennel, and I'm like, you do realize they have the ability. And I've seen it because it happened at my store while the officer was inside. The Malinois ate through his police car, and I'm talking that metal screen yep. that keeps the prisoner from coming to the front and hurting the officer. He ate that.
Absolutely. The thing with Malinois is they're such high drive dogs. You have to work them. You have to give them something to put that energy into. And if you don't, they are going to destroy your fucking house.
Well, so I'm seeing now people are going, well, he ate through the kennel and I'm sorry. I get it, but you shouldn't kennel a dog while you work 12-hour shifts. To me, that's cruel. And I think any dog, big or small, is going to be traumatized by that personally. But like little Miss, she's not even 2 years old yet. She is partial pit terrier, and she's American pit terrier, and she's also boxer. So she's got that crazy, I'm a puppy until I'm about 2.5 foot thing going on. So at night she sleeps in the kennel, but she's not forced to. She goes and puts herself to bed.
Right.
Kennel means leave me the hell alone. So during the day, if she wants to nap and she's had enough of us, she goes in there. We don't close the door, obviously, but she goes in there. But if you leave it, if I was to leave her in the kennel for 12 hours, when I come back, her mouth, her feet are going to be a bloody mess because she's going to get so bored and so lonely and so sad that she's going to destroy herself.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you got to make sure they have stuff to do in there. They have toys and stuff like that.
I just don't believe in caging a dog for long periods of time. I don't know what your point of getting them.
Excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with Jaeger, he's been trained. His kennel is kind of his safe place. So if things are getting too crazy in the house for him, that's where he goes to kind of feel safe.
Yeah, this is my timeout zone. Leave me alone. If I'm in here, fuck off.
Yeah, and the kids, my kids, my wife, everybody knows when he's in his kennel, and especially when he puts himself in his kennel, you don't mess with him because that means he needs some time to himself, just like any of you guys.
Yep, totally get it. Well, the same one that has had the shepherd named Jaeger that passed away, she decided after that she was going to get a Dutch shepherd. Now, you want to talk about high energy? It's a good thing she runs marathons. She runs probably 5 to 6 miles every single day. She said if she did not run with her, with Argos, that Argos would have probably eaten the entire house.
Absolutely.
So I always try to stress, and I know they hear it on any of the PTS dog shows or anything, but I always stress, please know your breed. Don't go out and pick a dog because it's trending, please. And don't, do you know how many people are getting rid of their Christmas dogs? Oh, I'm so mad about that.
Oh, that bothers me so bad.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject in the foundation.
I've gotten in so many arguments, especially on Facebook, about people getting dogs, getting rid of them, or getting a dog for a holiday or whatever. And then they think that I'm a bad person because I'm speaking up or I'm talking about you need to fix your dog or, hey, I'm going to breed my dog. And I'm like, how about you don't? And mm-hmm. they think I'm being a jerk. And I'm like, dude, no. Like, go spend a day in a shelter and see how many dogs get put down.
Yeah,
I'm in a yard sale group, and it's great for, like, old furniture and stuff, but I am noticing here lately there's a lot of rehoming. Got for Christmas, the five-year-old's not taking care of it. And I'm like, what the fuck did you expect for a five-year-old? You got them a German Shepherd.
Right. Yeah, that's not feasible to think that a five-year-old could properly take care of a German Shepherd.
Or a five-year-old can't even, I mean, you can teach them the basics, but they can't even take care of a little mini Chihuahua.
Right.
But, and that stuff kills me. So when you guys are doing your thing and say, well, I am a vet, but say I come to you and I go, hey, I got diagnosed with PTSD. The doctor recommended I get a service dog. What do I do now? I don't have a dog. I ain't got nothing. I don't even got a clue. I don't even know my rights. And I just walk in and say, help me. What you do?
So your first step through us is we have an online application. It's a grant application. And it asks questions that are, I don't want to say intrusive, but it gives us a good idea of where you're at. If you have a dog in mind, if you have a trainer in mind, what you need the dog for. Have you raised any money for the dog? Where are you located? That kind of stuff. And that gives us basically a platform to jump off of to go into action for actually helping you. And from there, we can help you find the dog or we can help you find the trainer you need and basically just get you where you need to be. We have very few requirements, one of which is you have to be a veteran or a first responder. You have to have a DD-214 honorable discharge or proof of employment as a first responder. And the other thing is if you have a disability, you need to be being treated for it. So for instance, if you're looking for a service dog for PTSD, you can't expect that service dog to be the cure-all for your PTSD. You also need to be helping yourself and being in therapy for that. So we do require that if we're going to help you get a service dog, you also need to be helping yourself and being treated for your disability.
All right. Well, we're going to expand on that a little bit further because not every veteran will do therapy, but I want you to explain a little bit better so they don't go, well, great. So because I'm scared to death of shrinks or I don't trust them, you're not going to help me get a service dog. That's not what he means.
No, not at all. There are so many different ways to get therapy for that, whether it be group therapy or individual counseling or even just having like another veteran that's a mentor to you. I mean, as long as you are working on yourself and working on that PTSD and those responses and reactions and everything, and not just expecting that dog to fix everything for you, we're going to help you.
Well, I'm going to go into that with you since we both have the same diagnosis, different reasons. We're not going to discuss those, but the example is when you have PTSD, sometimes you don't take care of yourself very good. You know what I'm saying? There are days where you can't get out of bed or whatever. If you aren't actively helping yourself, how are you going to take care of, train, and go to training classes to see Absolutely. Through with the dog? So if you are unable to get up and fix yourself a meal, you can't leave a service dog that you are training for days on end to their own device. You got to actively take part in their training. If you are incapable of doing that, then you're not going to be able to actively train the dog. And I'm sorry for those people who think that a dog should come already trained. It is impossible, physically impossible, to have a pre-trained PTSD dog because everybody's PTSD acts different. They have to learn with you.
As a finished service dog. No such thing. You are always working with that dog. That is your renewal of mission, is to work with that dog every time that leash is in your hand. That dog and you as a team can always be better. So there is no such thing as a finished service dog.
So in that, Jaeger Foundation is not being cruel. What they are saying is, if we are going to put this effort and this money, because it is not cheap and it is very time consuming to take care, train, service dog, even if they're donating the training for free, that person's still putting a lot of time into your butt. If you're incapable of taking care of yourself, until you get to that point, a service dog may not be for you.
Right. Correct.
Now, and people will be like, well, what about somebody who's blind? You can't, I get that. Yes, there are dogs that are for the seeing eye dogs or the hearing impaired, that there are programs like in prisons where they start teaching them that stuff, and they have to have a certain amount of training because, you know, if not, you're going to end up in traffic dead. But we're talking about
different tasks.
Those are different tasks.
We're completely different training. Yep.
But that's what people base it on. Well, they got a dog that trained for 2 years and it automatically started helping them. Not really, because they still have to learn the new layouts and the new routine, but they automatically assume, well, it needs to come to them.
Right.
And I'm like, it doesn't work quite like that.
And even at that, a blind person can still take care of themselves to an extent. You know, mm-hmm. they're still getting out of bed every morning and meeting their basic needs. They just might need a little help, but they have that motivation to do so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they got blind that day and automatically got handed a service dog. There's right. red tape and stuff involved in there, just like everything else in this world. So by that point, they're usually self-sufficient, but the dog just adds more independence. It you know, does. Now they can cross the street without worrying about getting run over or so forth and so on. Not knowledgeable about those type of dogs, but I have seen a couple tasks, you know.
Yeah.
But we are about out of time for this part of the episode. We are going to take a short break when I tell everybody go tinkle, and we'll be right back. Oink's going to talk to us for a few minutes, and we'll get back to the Jaeger Foundation. You're listening to Frag Out Drag Out on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
Good evening, DVs. Just to let you know, I've got the website back up and running. Don't listen to anything anybody said. I did not fuck it up. I'm a pro when it comes to this shit. I'm not a total retard, you know?
Is that a fact?
Oh, fuck. Fuck! Fuck!
Okay.
Shit! Oh. Be right back. Still not my fault.
This ain't reality TV!
DV Radio.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. That's Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not a paid endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio free of charge.
Have you pull-started your girlfriend's anal beads like a lawnmower?
Yeah!
Do you have sperm dripping from the wrong hole in your head? Screamed at for putting it in the wrong hole?
Yeah!
Maybe you need DV Radio sex ed classes. That's DVRadio.net, the only place for the right way to have sex.
This is just a parody ad and should not be taken seriously.
DV Radio.
We're back on the air.
Hey! DV Radio.
And welcome back to Frag Out Drag Out. We still have Nevermore, Oink, Uncle Fester, Doc, and Foxy from Jaeger Foundation. Before we go back to them and not go on and 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 on about service dogs, we're actually going to talk about some of their foundation and where to find them and that good stuff. But first, Wanky Boy, Piggy.
Well, that's happening, folks. Hey, we couldn't do this great show without the great support of such folks as over there at NFG Vets. NMCB7's 8-Up Award winner for 2002 through 2005, NFG Vets is a place where, you know, it allows us vets to provide an outlet for active duty and military veterans from all over the world. You know, it's just a place to let your hair down. And of course, he definitely posts some great memes. So if you haven't gone over there and checked them out yet, head over to NFG Vets on Facebook and give it a like. You won't be disappointed, that's for sure. Our other great sponsor, of course, is the K-Bar Soap Company. The man scent soap grooming market is currently unserved. Yeah, there's very few companies out there that provide men a way to cleanse themselves and smell like a man after doing so. And hey, let's be honest, 7.62 ounces of a grenade of soap. You can't go wrong there, folks. Especially when you got the such scents as Whiskey and Bad Decisions, Napalm in the AM, Reveille, Firewatch, Chess Candy, Ricky Recon, Fuck Bugs, Salt Dog, and of course, Opame. All of them great scents. So get over there to K-Bar Soap Company. And of course, a little shout out there to the Flame on Candle Company as well. They got some great scents for the candles, also located on their page as well. So head over there, guys, check them out. And again, thank you to K-Bar Soap Company and NFG Vets.
And I do know that NFG Vets, and this hasn't been updated on Oink's little card because Oink has to read because he can't remember shit, they have started a private group. You cannot go into NFG's private underground group if you do not answer their questions. So if you are not smart enough to answer 4 questions, you cannot get in. And speaking of K-Bar soap, Ricky Recon is one hell of a dog washing soap. No film. Not 27,000 rinses. Like, you know, Skeeter's got like a lot of floof. You don't have to rinse them. And then you get him out of the bathtub because he's 100 pounds of wet soaking dog and go, shit, I got to put him back in. I missed the spot. Great for doggies. Just saying. Anyway, Jaeger Foundation, do you guys do, are you a 501c?
We are a 501c3. We've had our status for, man, I want to say we're coming up on a year. Yeah.
Okay. The reason I ask that is, you know, obviously people can, if they choose to give donations and such to 501Cs, it's tax deductible, blah, 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 yep. Whatever. That shouldn't be the reason you donate, just saying. But anyway, do you guys take donations? And I'm going to break it down. Do you take money donations? Do you take supply donations? What do you guys need or desire or wish for 2020?
So mainly we're trying to build up that financial cushion for operation and for helping vets and first responders. So money is our biggest thing right now. And there's a couple different ways you can do that. One is through, and it's all on our website. One is through our PayPal. You can send us money directly through there. You can do a fundraiser on Facebook for your birthday or something for the Jaeger Foundation. We have an online store that you can order things from. And if you use Amazon Smile, for those of you who don't know what that is, you can use Amazon Smile and a portion of your purchases go to a charity of your choice. So if you're not already doing DV or DV Farm, pop in Jaeger Foundation and just shop like you normally do.
Okay. And I know you guys are on Facebook. Yours is the one that's got the cute little doggy with a flag and Jaeger Foundation, because I found a couple of things that popped up when you just type in Jaeger. But do you have a website?
We do. Our website is www.thejaegerfoundation.org.
Okay, spell Jaeger for the Marines.
J-A-E-G-E-R.
Just there you go. Just look at your bottle. It's spelled just like that. So a lot of places that do this either work with trainers or they have a training facility. So I want you guys to break down a little bit when you are helping with training. Y'all don't have a facility, right?
Correct. One of the unique things about us and one of the ways that we get to that point where with as little red tape as possible and get rid of those waiting lists is that we will help you hook you up with a trainer that we will vet and make sure it can meet your needs in your area and near you, because we feel that number one, that cooperative training is really important for you and the dog. So we want to hook you up with a trainer that you can regularly meet with near you. We're not just going to purchase a service dog for you, get it trained and then send it to you and go, here you go, have fun. That's not how it works. That's not setting you guys up for success. So with these other foundations and other programs out there, they have their own trainers, their own facilities and stuff. They're limited to those resources. With the way that we work, we're limited to the resources in the country. So, I mean, we're virtually unlimited in our resources, and that's what helps keep those wait times down.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong if you go to somebody that has a training facility, but that also means they can only take a certain amount, a certain class, you know, and it's not like in 2 weeks they have an availability. They have to go in cycles however long that they deem that they're training. So it could be 18 months. I mean, I know a great organization that's near the local VA that does service dogs, but they only do a training class every 18 months. So that means that if you don't get in on the next 18 months, you could be waiting 2 to 3 years. So he doesn't mean anything bad by that. I don't want any, I don't care, because it's frag out, drag out. And they just don't know. They can be Judgy McJudgerson all the hell they want. I don't care. But the thing is, if you do it to where you outsource your resources, you're not limited to only turning out 6 veterans or first responders a year.
Right. So basically one of our jobs is to advocate for the veteran. And the way we do that is you can come to us and have a trainer in mind, be like, hey, I've got this trainer local to me. I would like to work with them. And what we're going to do is call them, make contact with them, find out about their program, and make sure that that program is going to meet your needs and set you guys up for success. And also that they're not going to take advantage of you financially or in any other way.
Oh, absolutely. I have seen good trainers. I have seen bad training facilities where they do basic training and they don't teach you. And I'm all about cooperative training. If you do not know how to train your dog beyond sit and stay, and you don't know how to start working their tasks in, which I have no idea. JJ helps me with the task training. He was on the phone when she alerted last time, but had he have not been on the phone dealing with another emergency, he would have encouraged and reinforced her behavior, because I was in the moment where I couldn't. But if they don't teach you that, you are literally setting yourself up for failure. You're going to be like, well, I took them into public, dog acted dumb, I'm done, wash the dog. No, yep. Wash yourself, because you don't know, you didn't do enough research.
Exactly.
I hate that too. The turnover rates that I see some people, like even in our group, that they're on like their 4th or 5th prospect. And I'm like, what are you doing? I cannot believe 5 dogs failed you. What are you doing wrong?
No, absolutely. You know, we've had, I think we've helped a total of 4 people so far. Mm-hmm. And not one of them has washed out. Because of our vetting process, we vet the dog, we vet the trainer, and we make sure that that dog is in a good mindset to be able to do the job. And if it's not, we're not going to waste our time trying to get it to. I mean, if the dog's been abused and has its own PTSD, you know, that's really hard for him to help you with your PTSD when he's dealing with his own.
And also setting up the expectation with the vet that you're going to be doing this with the dog. This is a teamwork thing.
Absolutely.
And that it's not just the dog's responsibility or the trainer's responsibility. It's also yours. So
you guys are a team.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that dogs that haven't been through it can't turn around and focus, but it's a lot more dedication than what I would call a dog with a clean slate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You see them, you see that all the time, especially because I'm in a lot of Pibble groups, but you see a lot of time that they do turn around, but that person literally dedicates their entire life to rehabilitating that dog, literally eat, sleep, drink everything with that dog to ensure it gets over its fears.
Yep.
But a vet with PTSD may not have that kind of patience.
One of the other things about us is our ideal open situation is that if you already own a dog and you've already bonded with that dog, that bond is the most important thing for you to build with your service animal. So if you already have a dog that you've bonded with and he knows your mannerisms and you know his mannerisms, we're going to try to use that relationship and just further it into a service dog team.
Oh, absolutely. That actually is amazing. Now, I do have a lot of people that come and ask, well, I've had my dog for 5 or 6 years and they're really great emotional support. Now, I've learned that I have the right to train. I'm not saying it's impossible, but 5 or 6 years, by the time you get through, and I'm not going to say finish training, but by the time you get through the core task training, mm-hmm. how much longer does that dog have to work?
You know, we do prefer that it is a younger dog. I mean, if you've got a dog that's 8, 9, 10 years old, it's probably not worth the money to put into him to make him into a service dog, because by the time you finish training him and everything, that dog's pretty much at the end of his life already, or her life.
And you know, and no offense, but you don't want an elderly dog to spend the last year of their year or two of their life having to being forced to work.
Exactly. Yep.
I don't think a lot of people know that Skeeter chooses to work. Never once is he forced. He's never said no because he loves it. Mm-hmm. But if it's a day where Skeeter's just like, you know what, I am not in the mood, and you can tell, if you say the magic word work, he's going to go no matter what. We just don't put him in that position. We just say, screw it, we'll go another day. Because everybody thinks they're robots. What do you think of when people go, well, if it's a trained service dog, it wouldn't bark. Or if it's a trained service dog, you know, it wouldn't blah.
And that's not accurate either, because even my dog, he doesn't really bark, but he'll whine. And his biggest thing is kids. I was at the VA today for an appointment, and a gentleman came out from an appointment and had his, I don't know, must have been 3-year-old kid with him. He was holding him in his arms, and Jaeger started whining, and I corrected it, you know, leave it. But it's not because Jaeger's not properly trained. It's because Jaeger's still a dog, and he loves kids and just wants to play.
Mm-hmm. Now, Skeeter doesn't like toddlers. He won't hurt them, so before anybody goes, oh, my God, you're done. No, he just doesn't. They're too hyper.
Yeah.
He likes everything calm. I mean, if he herds grown-ups and the boogie bug, he's going to hurt a toddler. But babies, oh, my goodness, we have to say leave it. He has a command, no babies, because if he had thumbs, we would get home and we would have somebody's baby. And I'd be like, my dog just stole a baby. What am I supposed to do? But like, we were at the mall, and that's a hard place for a service dog. I don't care who you are, how much training.
It is. There's so
a giant mall is insane. And we get into an elevator, and the lady comes in with a baby. Skeeter immediately turns, and we're like, no babies. The lady's cracking up, and I'm like, she's going to think that we're trying to tell him he can't eat the baby. But, and I said, ma'am, if he could, he would take your baby home until it's no longer a baby, and then we'd have to give it back. Once it's past the baby phase, we're done.
So I think that's a common misconception that people have with service dogs, is that if they're service dogs, that's all they do is work. They have a horrible life. They're slaves. And that's not true.
Or they're perfect.
Right. Absolutely not. I mean, my dog has bad days just like I do. You know, there's days where he just doesn't give a fuck about anybody either. So his thing, man, my mind just shut off. That was awesome. Take it away, Kaylee.
No, when he's at home, he's a goober.
He is.
But when he's out in public, he's a real good boy.
He is. He's solid. Even with the kids, he'll whine, but he doesn't move. He doesn't try to go up to the kid or anything like that. He whines because he wants to go play.
Right. It's so weird seeing, like, when John comes and visits me at work, and Jaeger's just sitting there minding his business, and I know I can see it in his eye that all he wants to do is jump on me and kiss me and, like, knock me over. And I it's so bad because all I want to do is do the same thing back to him. But I'm like, no, he's got an important job. He's got his vest on. I can't touch him. And then when I come over to John's house, then as soon as I get in the door, I get almost knocked over, and he's all up in my grill. It's so funny to see that difference.
Yeah. Skeeter is night and day at a restaurant or at home. At a restaurant, that dog does not put his face on the table. You know, he's trained. He does what he's supposed to. But at home, he won't steal my food, but he is a serious, serious grub. I was cracking up one night because it was late at night, and I had a piece of a peanut butter sandwich. Well, I made the mistake of telling Skeeter he could have a bite when I was done. So I literally turned my head, and there wasn't a lot left, but there was enough. I turned my head, reached for something. He takes his bite, which was the rest of the sandwich. And the next day I'm telling JJ, and he's like, well, you did tell him he could have a bite, so he took a bite. And I was like, yep, that was my bad. But at the restaurant, he would, now if I offered it, that would be setting him up, because right, mommy spoils him. But if we say leave it, he leaves it. But another thing that they think is that our dogs can't disobey, but they do have intelligent disobedience. For instance, Skeeter does not bite, but he has grabbed me by my butt and pulled me away from knocking somebody's block off. That kind of intelligent disobedience does not mean he's not trained.
Right.
It means nothing he did worked to stop me, because I do remember him pushing and nudging, and he doesn't like to knock mommy down. He'll knock his daddy down, but he doesn't like to knock mommy down because mommy has chronic pain disorder, so he doesn't do that to me. But he will grab me by the seat of my pants. Doesn't mean he's not trained or he's a bad dog. He didn't even break skin. I woke up with my foot in his mouth. I was having such horrific nightmares. It wasn't safe for him to jump up, so he grabbed me by my foot and started pulling me until I woke up. I mean, that's a creepy feeling, waking up with, I woke up and I was like, oh, dude, and I turned on the light and I'm looking, and I'm like, you drooled on me, you know, but there wasn't even a teeth mark. JJ rolls over and he's like, what's going on? I was like, I just woke up with my whole foot in his mouth.
I thought it was you, JJ.
And I'm like halfway out of the bed and he goes, must have been a really, because I like, if I'll hurt myself. I've actually knocked off table lamps and turned over tables, and Lord knows what I would do to him. So I'm assuming it was a rough one because he is nightmare trained for JJ. So I thought it was funny. But when you tell a story to people who don't understand, they're like, see, he shouldn't have grabbed you. And I'm like, actually, he should have jumped up on me, but obviously he couldn't because I must have been kicking or whatever.
See, he was smart enough to stay out of reach.
Yeah, so he just was like, screw it, I'll pull mommy down into the floor if she don't stop. And he probably wouldn't have made it that far because I'm a light sleeper, but I mean, I assume he would have pulled me all the way down there where he could lay on me if he had to. That would have been a hell of a way to wake up. Ka-thunk. Dude, now, I will tell you, he's a bad boy, though. I can't sleep with Wooby because he takes Wooby. I have woke up more than one time with Wooby in my hands, feeling it pulled, and he's like a damn mongoose. You see his head pop up at the end of the bed, Wooby in his mouth, pulling it. And I'm like, that is my Wooby. And more than once, he wins. I wake up, and he's got Wooby in the floor with him.
Now, when you say Wooby, are we talking an actual, like, military issue?
Beloved Wooby, yes.
Oh, the Wooby.
He steals it.
You know what a Wooby is?
No.
It's this silky camouflage poncho cover. We call it a Wooby, and it's like a security blanket.
Yeah, I used to sleep with them at my aunt's house.
Yes, they're wonderful.
Yes, they are.
It is wonderful, but no matter...
We should make Jaeger Foundation Wubbies.
You should. You really should. No matter what, though, people, the point is, he does his goofy stuff. He has his antics. He does things out of spite. My favorite story is he went hunting. His daddy went hunting. He didn't get to go. When JJ got back, now this is meticulous and this is actually very smart. He had taken the trash and literally had meticulously picked up one piece at a time for optimal distribution to where it was going to take JJ 10 years to pick it all up. And literally, like, imagine there were squares on the floor, one per square.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, I actually got a funny story about that with Jaeger. When I first got him, I have this, it's a motion sensing trash can. You have to wave your hand over the little sensor and it opens it.
Bougie trash can.
So yes, it's very bougie. And I've got people, like full grown adults, that come to my house and can't figure out that damn trash can. Kate, Foxy's got a face on right now.
But,
you feel attacked?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I bring Jaeger home for the first time, and I went to the bathroom. It took me like 2 minutes. And in that 2 minutes that I was in the bathroom, he had figured out how to wave his nose over that sensor, open the trash, pull something out, and then wave his nose back over the sensor to close it. And
go back
in the living room with the item that he chose. And I was floored.
They make you stop and go, what the hell? But the point of everybody's story is service dogs have bad days. Service dogs have minds of their own. And we can't, no matter, even if we tried, we can't make them into this robotic piece of machinery.
I wouldn't want them to be.
I wouldn't either. I like the fact that he thinks for himself. And no, it's not fun cleaning up meticulous piles of trash. But it to me, he's a prankster and he does pull pranks. And it's hilarious. Now, we did correct him, of course, but you can't be mad when he put so much damn work into it. Like, if I walked in and the trash can lid was reclosed, I'd be like, okay, that's going too far.
No, you're going to be one of those dogs, huh?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that Jaeger knew to close it to hide his tracks, that's kind of funny.
I knew I was in trouble. Now, please understand, yes, our service dogs have bad days. They have minds of their own and everything, but they're still trained, and they still have that level of obedience that's necessary to do their job and not be a disturbance in public.
Absolutely. I absolutely, like I said, I'm the biggest I don't think everybody's magic solution is a service dog. I understand that it doesn't work for some. Some people just, no matter what, whether they're getting outside help or not, just don't have it in them to go through the training and stuff, and they medicate or whatever. I have nothing against people who take medication, go to therapy or whatever, but I got to say our life's a lot easier with the big guy, because not only is he trained to assist with tasks, but he is a really, really great companion. He has that empathy that
yes,
people beg for, you know, and even the little one, I would say she's more of an emotional support, or I call her an at-home service dog because public and her not happening. But it's that empathy, that bonds, and not all animals, dogs, not even humans have that kind of empathy. So
exactly.
It's having a life for the duration of their life, a wonderful companion, if nothing else.
And like we were talking earlier, it is a true unconditional love that humans, I mean, I hate to say this, but humans aren't really capable of. I mean, we put emotion and reason into those things and expectations, and dogs don't have that. So their love for you is super simple. They just love you because they love you. That's it. That's all there is to it.
Well, before we run out of time, it's 2020, new year, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to say new year, new me. Meh. What is your goal for the Jaeger Foundation in 2020? You said your guy's only about a year old, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So what is your goal? I know everything, especially 501Cs. If you go too fast, you mess up. What are you trying to do for this year?
So we got a little overexcited. We did a couple of benefits and got a good, decent chunk of money in, and we immediately put it out to vets that we knew needed it. Unfortunately, that left us with very little to do anything else with. So our goal is to build up that financial cushion to the point where we can keep helping veterans as well as keeping ourselves afloat as well with our operating costs and everything. So, I mean, we got kind of caught up in the excitement of helping veterans, which is great. That's why we're here. But in order to keep doing that, we also need to, you know, keep ourselves operating. So our goal is to get that financial cushion so we can meet the needs of the veterans that come to us and first responders.
And as he was saying, you can go to his website. You can go to their, I guess you have a message button on your Facebook page that I didn't check for.
Yep.
You can go to the website, go to the Facebook page, ask them questions. He said you can switch to Amazon Smile if you're not already doing the DV Farm. And if you do a birthday fundraiser, and I see a lot of people, they're like, well, I don't even know what fundraiser. You're not going to hurt DV Radio and DV Farm's feelings if you do a little mini fundraiser for the Jaeger Foundation. They've been on the radio with a couple of us, you know, and all that good stuff. So if you, especially with tax season coming up, if you find it in your hearts, help the Jaeger Foundation. They made a rookie mistake. They're new. Everybody does it. I don't care who you are. No one starts a 501c knowing what the hell they're doing. If you do, then you got damn lucky.
Ain't that the truth?
Been there, done that, seen it happen. at just about every organization that's a 501c, I've seen they either grow too fast or they don't try to grow themselves at all. And, you know, and I'm glad you got caught up in helping veterans, but we need to get you back to a point where you can help more.
Absolutely.
And do you guys, I'll let Foxy go because bless her heart, she hasn't talked much because, you know, we just rattle on. Foxy, do you have any parting words for the Radio Nation?
Wow, put on the spot. I am just excited to be here. I was brought onto the board back in October. I am the official event coordinator, so working on different types of events and doing benefits. Gonna try to like anything that's going on right now. Like if there's a fundraiser or like you know, I don't know, a pet show or something like that, we're gonna try to get a booth, that type of thing. I'm just really looking forward to this year and seeing us grow. We are looking for silent auction items. So for our upcoming benefits. And we do have merchandise on our website as well. So if you want to get a hoodie or a shirt or a phone case or anything like that, check us out and make sure to share.
Absolutely. So guys, if you want to do a fundraiser, when you message in and you would like to do a fundraiser on their behalf, please don't just go do it. Please coordinate with Foxy so that she can make sure that everything's done by the 501c needs, blah, 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 because there is red tape with the government. Any parting words, Doc?
I need a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but I think I might be able to help.
You know, I just want to thank you guys for giving us this amazing platform to come and talk about our foundation and everything. And, you know, you guys have basically become part of the Get Your Foundation family, and we're just really thankful for everything you guys are doing. So,
yeah, thank you.
Okay. Oh, I think I'm sick again. No problem. Lanky.
I think the easiest thing and the way that people can remember it is dogs are people too. No matter how well-trained they are, they all have attitudes. They all have that joker, like Skeeter sometimes. But, you know, just remember, dogs are people too.
And Uncle Fessa?
Well, I want to thank Jaeger Foundation for joining us today. It was very educational for me. The videos were awesome. Pictures were awesome. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And from Nevermore, you're always going to hear me. I'm going to put my two cents in when it's any kind of dog training because I work on both sides of the fence. And I also get to see what happens when you bring your stupid pet to poop in the Walmarts. It drives me crazy. So please learn your ADA and don't be one of those. And if you do need any help with a service dog, please contact the Jaeger Foundation. You can also contact BTS Dog, their page. They you know, these guys are getting started, but they have resources and all of that good jazz. From all of us on Frag Out Drag Out, thank you for listening. Fuck off, fuck six holes, and we'll see you next time only on DB Radio WDBR.
Thank you so much for having us on, guys.
Radio.